God wants to unfold His will to each and every one of us.
But Pastor Greg Laurie says, don't expect a to-do list to come floating down from heaven. It's a change made on the inside.
God's will is not an itinerary, it's an attitude. So I read the Word of God, I pray for direction, and I just start taking steps. And guess what? I find myself smack dab in the will of God. Let's understand, God's way becomes clear when we start walking in it.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
We all want certain things for our children. We want them to be healthy and happy. We want them to make good choices. And foremost among them being to accept Jesus as their Savior. But our kids reach a certain point, and the principles that we taught them are working their way into the specific choices that they make. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie says our Heavenly Father's guidance is similar. The closer we get to God and His values, the more we'll know that we're walking in His ways.
Does God still speak to people today? I mean, let's be honest. When someone says God's been talking to them, we get a little suspicious, sometimes a little concerned. Does God talk to us? Does the Lord speak to us? Does God Almighty actually have a master plan for our lives? And if so, how do I discover it? How can I learn how to know the voice of God? How can I know the will of God? Because we all need direction in life. If you're single, you're thinking, how am I going to know who to marry? I don't want to make the wrong choice. So that's something on your mind. If you're in college, you're thinking about, what should my major be? You're thinking about, what should my career be? And then as you move on in life, you have other questions. We need supernatural input on these things. Well, we have two views that maybe are not accurate. View number one is we think finding God's will is really hard. God's sort of hiding it from us, sort of like a celestial Easter bunny is not telling us where the golden egg is. You know, when you have an Easter egg hunt, there's the golden egg. That's the one that has a little money in it or something extra. Where is it? And we think the Lord's up there saying, you're getting warmer, warmer, hot, hot, no, cold, cold, cold. So it's something we can never find. Or the opposite view is we think God's will is something undesirable. It's going to be bad. It's going to be miserable. That is false as well. So it's not like God is hiding it from us. And it's not like the will of God isn't good. So what is it? Here's the thing you need to know. There is joy in the will of God. There's joy in the will of God. Romans 15, 22, Paul says that I may come to you in joy by the will of God. So when you're walking in God's will, there's joy. Let me flip that around. When you're not walking in God's will, there's misery. The most miserable place to be is outside of God's will. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah someday. He found out how that works out the hard way. So God's will is joyful. So why does God want to reveal His will to me? Because God is my friend. And friends share secrets with friends. Remember, Abraham is uniquely called the friend of God. And we're told over in the book of Genesis, the Lord speaking, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? You say, well, that's great for Abraham. No, it's great for you too. Because Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but everything I've heard from my Father, I have revealed to you. God, as your friend, wants to reveal His will. God is your friend, listen to this, wants to reveal His secrets to you as well. Because the Bible says in Psalm 25, 14, the secret of the Lord is with those that fear Him. There are things God wants to unfold in your life and unveil in your life, but you need to learn to tune in. We're taught to seek the will of God in the Lord's Prayer, which is a template for all prayer. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that interesting? before I get to the petition part, before I get to the give me this day my daily bread part, I'm taught to pray first and foremost, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we should not only want to know the will of God, we should be anxious to know God's will. 1 Peter 4:2 says, don't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but be anxious to do the will of God. It's not something I have to do. It should be something I want to do. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O God. Yes, your law is written in my heart. So listen, the will of God is not an option for the true Christian. And I'll tell you this, that a lot of times finding God's will is something that just sort of unfolds as I take steps of faith. It's not like I wake up every morning and God audibly speaks to me. Okay, Greg, here's the plan for today. Here's the blueprint. Check it out. No, he just leads me a step at a time. And that's because God's will is not an itinerary. It's an attitude. And the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So I read the word of God. I pray for direction. And I just start taking steps. And guess what? I find myself smack dab in the will of God. Let's not overly mystify this. Let's understand God wants to unfold his will to each and every one of us. God's way becomes clear when we start walking in it. He does speak. So we need to say, Lord, teach me your will. All right. Well, the best place to start is pick up the manual. God's given us the manual on how to know his will. And it's right here, and it's called the Bible. So grab your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12, and here are the words of the Apostle Paul on how to know the will of God in your life. Romans 12, I'm reading verses 1 to 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is called a conditional promise. And by that I mean there is a promise, and the promise is you can know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The conditions are I must do what he tells me to do first, and that is to present myself to him and not be conformed to this world. But Paul begins with the word, therefore. I beseech you, therefore. By the way, the word beseech, this means I urge you, I'm pleading with you, I'm begging you. Brothers, Paul is saying, I'm begging you to present yourself to God. Therefore what? Well, as I've often said, whenever you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. And it means he's drawing on what has been previously said. So what has been previously said? Romans 1 to 11, which basically tells me I'm a sinner separated from God. I can't meet God's standards. I can't keep the law. I can't save myself, but Jesus died for me. And if I'll turn from my sin and put my faith in him and him alone, I am forgiven. I'm adopted into God's family and I'm justified. In light of this, Paul is saying, in light of all that God has done for you, this is what you ought to be doing for him. Present yourself to him.
It's great to have you with us on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. We're in the book of Romans today as Pastor Greg continues his practical study called How to Know the Will of God. It's number one in his series of most requested messages of the past year.
So what do I need to do? Number one, verse one, present your body as a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means give your whole being to God. Give your physical body to God. Give your personality to God. Give your present to God. Give your future to God. Give your resources to God. Number one, we need to present our minds. Fill your mind with God's truth, not the junk and twisted worldview of this culture. We need to consciously and proactively choose to think about godly things more often. Philippians 4 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. So present your mind to God. Number two, present your words to God. Present your tongue to God. Think about what you say before you say it. Over in James 3:5, it says, the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Think before you speak. Think before you tweet. Think before you hit send on your email. Think before you post it on Facebook. Think before you spread that information. I mean, not even true. Think. T-H-I-N-K. It's an acronym. Ask yourself this. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? If it doesn't meet that acronym, don't say it. Well, Greg, if I lived that way, I'd never say anything. Hallelujah. But you know, what enormous damage a tiny spark can do. It can set a forest on fire. That's what words can do. I think it was Spurgeon that said, lie is halfway around the world while truth is still putting its shoes on. It's amazing how lies spread so quickly. But I know this from experience about a little spark almost starting a forest fire. Years ago, I was in Virginia staying at a friend's cabin out in the middle of nowhere. And he didn't have central heating. And he said, the way we heat this cabin is we put logs in this stove right here, and that heats the cabin. And he says, Greg, do you know how to build a fire? I said, does Duraflame count? Isn't it you turn the gas on, light it? No, we don't have gas here. We don't use Duraflame logs. You have to build a fire. Do you know how to build one? I said, actually, I don't know that I do. And he said, well, let's go get some kindling. I said, great, where do you buy that? He looks at me like, you're such a moron. He said, you don't buy kindling, you get it off the ground. I said, great, can you show me what it looks like? So we're walking around and he's showing me what kindling is, you know, dried up little branches and things like that. And so he comes and he builds a fire, gets a great fire going. He says, now here's the deal. This fire will fill up with ash. So you take the ash and you put it in a metal bucket. And then you can put more wood in the fire and you got to keep this thing going perpetually. And sure enough, at about 11 o'clock at night, it's getting cold. I'm putting more logs in, but the problem is there was a lot of ash. So I scoop the ash out, put it in the metal bucket, and then it burned through those logs. And now I've got too much on my bucket. I've got to empty the bucket. I look at it. It looks good. So I go out on the porch of this little cabin. It's pitch dark out. And I throw out the ash, and I see about 12 little burning embers. And they went out. Little fire starts. Oh, no. Another one. Boom. I thought, I'm going to burn the whole forest down. I freak out. I literally run out there. I'm picking up these live embers with my hands, throwing them up on the gravel driveway, praying, oh, God, help. Oh, God, help. Then I run in the house for a bucket to fill with water. It's like the smallest bucket I've ever seen. I thought, I'm going to burn the whole forest down. And I did. It was sad. No, I didn't. Fortunately, those little fires didn't go too far. But that's just what a little burning coal can do. The same is true of our words. And we need to present our hands and feet to God. Your body to God. Proverbs 6:16 says, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Notice each one of these is a body part. Haughty eyes, which means an arrogant look. A lying tongue. Hands that kill the innocent. A heart that plots evil, and feet that race to do wrong. Some people have feet that race to do wrong. Let me put it another way. They're called toddlers, right? They learn how to walk, and they're just, you have to follow them everywhere. You know, they just don't know what they're doing yet. But some people are this way. They're just always looking for things to destroy or ways to wreak havoc. No, God doesn't want us to do that. Present that to God. You present your feet to God. And we talked earlier in Romans about how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the gospel. So we present our minds, we present our words, we present our actions, and yes, we also present our finances. If you've really given your heart to God, it will affect your finances. And let me turn that around. If it hasn't affected your finances, have you really given your whole heart over to the Lord? You know, in 2 Corinthians 8:5, Paul writes about the generous believers who lived in Macedonia. These people were not wealthy, but they heard about a need and they gave generously. And Paul commends them and he says, this they did, giving themselves to the Lord. So before they gave their finances, first they gave themselves and the finances followed. So give your heart to the Lord. Number two, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the way, the Greek verb used here for conform refers to the act of assuming an outward appearance that does not accurately reflect what is within. In other words, don't masquerade as if you really belong to the world. That would be patterning yourself inconsistently with who you really are. Think of Halloween. Maybe you dress up as a character. Like last year, I was SpongeBob SquarePants. And no, actually, I wasn't. But, you know, you put on a mask. Oh, I'm Captain America. Oh, you know, she's Wonder Woman or whatever. And you pretend, but that's not really who you are. So the idea that Paul's communicating is don't pretend to be something you are not. Don't be conformed to this world. Or as the J.B. Phillips translation puts it, don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. So present yourself to God. Don't be conformed to this world. Here's the question you need to ask yourself. Are you going to be a conformer or are you going to be a transformer? A conformer or a transformer? You're either going to be conformed to this world or you're going to transform the world. Or you're going to be a thermostat or a thermometer. A thermometer tells you what the temperature is and a thermostat sets it. So, you know, you can be a thermometer. You just react, hey, whatever it is, I'll blend in with that. Or you can be the thermostat. You say, I'm going to set the temperature of this room. I'm going to walk into this room and I'm going to be a light for Jesus Christ. Or I'm going to cave in and compromise and try not to stand out in any way. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is good.
Great insights on discovering the will of God today here on A New Beginning. Pastor Greg Laurie is presenting insights from his series of most requested messages. Well, maybe you've been listening and felt God speaking to you today. Maybe you've never come to the Lord and asked Him to forgive your sins. Well, Pastor Greg says you can do that right now.
That's right. The Bible says whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So think of it this way. Maybe you're out in a riptide in the ocean and you can't get your footing and you're in trouble and you see a lifeguard. Call out for help and the lifeguard will rescue you. The same is true spiritually. You're drowning in your sin. You need help. Jesus will save you. He will rescue you, but you must call out to Him. And you know how you do that? You do it in prayer. So let me just lead you in a simple prayer, and you can pray this prayer after me. You can pray it out loud if you like. And this is where you are calling out to Jesus to save you. Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Now, Lord, I turn from my sin and I put my faith in you. Be my Savior, my Lord, be my God and my friend. I choose to follow you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that Christ Himself has come to live inside of you. And I have a resource I want to send you. It's called the New Believer's Bible. So the New Believer's Bible is the New Testament in the New Living Translation with hundreds of notes that I wrote that will encourage you in this commitment you are making to follow Christ. There's some other materials included as well in what we call the New Believer's Growth Pack, but let me get this New Believer's Bible into your hands as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and to get that New Believers Bible and the other items in our New Believers Growth Pack, just call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And our friendly prayer team would love to pray for you and help you get started on your journey too. Call 1-800-772-936 today. Next time on A New Beginning, join us for more insight on this practical issue of finding and following God's will for our lives. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called How to Know the Will of God. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app, where it's available as a podcast, along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media, station sponsor.